Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Talking about the anatomy of salvation, being born again, Jesus is still talking to whom? Who's he talking to? Nicodemus. Nicodemus is one of the most powerful men that was ever interviewed during Christ's ministry. He's representing the Sanhedrin court. He's not representing himself. He's representing the Sanhedrin court, and he is there at nighttime, probably with an entourage of people to guard him, because it was very dangerous to travel at nighttime. But he's there with Jesus, wherever Jesus was staying. You know, Jesus didn't have a home, did he? No, he traveled around and stayed with people. And this is one of the most famous verses in the Bible. In any version of the Bible, it doesn't really matter. John 3:16. And Andrew, it's good to have you in here. Andy, however you like to be called. John 3:16. Who told us? Gar, agapason, ho theos, ton cosmos, hoste, ton huion, ton monogene, edoken, hina, pas, ho pision, eis auton, me, apolete, alla, eke, zoane, ionion. Now that's what John 3:16 sounds like in Greek. Alright? For in this same manner is how it takes off. For in this same manner, he loved. Alright, he loved. Now this is third person singular, first aorist indicative active. Alright? Agapason. What is the first aorist tense? What kind of action is first aorist tense? Brother Steve, you remember that? First aorist. First aorist. Julie, you remember that one?
I don't.
Okay. How about you, Sherry? Cindy, you got first aorist? Punctiliar. Knife blade. Action. Right there, knife blade. Like a sharpened steel blade. Punctiliar action. It happened once. One time. Okay? For God so loved. All right? For in the same manners, he loved the God, the world. Ton cosmo. How do you say world, and how would you say that in Hebrew? Do you know? Brother Roger, you know that one? All right. In Genesis 1, it says, Barashith bara. All right. Elohim et Hashemayim. The word Hashemayim there actually means world. It means heavens, but it means all the whole heavens. Everything. All of it. God created the heavens. And then it says, we et ha'aretz, and the earth. Okay? And then it says, and the earth she became formless and void. And then it says, darkness was over the face of the earth. And then it says, Spirit God, Ruah Elohim, went out and suffered and mourned over the faces of the deep. That's the whole story of salvation right there. See? We have a destroyed world that God is going to redeem back. Not just us. I want you to know that. Man is egotistical, isn't he? Well, is he or is he not? Man is egotistical. When every religion, we've got religious wars all over the world going on all the time. One man's opinion against another man's opinion. All right? Religious wars, killing and murdering people in the name of religion. How many of you ever read Mark Twain's prayer about World War I? You ought to read it. Go on the internet and read Mark Twain's prayer about World War I. Oh God, go out there and help us kill our enemies and spread their blood on the ground so their children will be orphans and their wives will starve. That's what he said. Now, he was saying it in a... as every person would look at their enemy. That's what he was doing. Help us murder our enemy. Help us make them orphans. Help us starve them to death. Help us starve them to death. Make them starve and make them suffer and bring them into submission. That's not the way God loved the world, is it? We looked at the Beatitudes the other day. The Beatitudes, what was the purpose of the Beatitudes? Huh? Remember that? On Sunday morning? The ethics of the kingdom? The ethics of the kingdom is in the Beatitudes that it's talking about how do you look at other people? How do you look at them? You don't murder them to get them converted. You don't cut a knife through the throat. And then you read those Beatitudes in that state of mind, and you'll get a different story out of the Beatitudes than how most people look at it altogether, period. For God so loved the world, so as the Son, the only begotten, He gave. Look at that word, ton huion there. Huion, ton huion there. What is that? What does? We got a lot of words for children and son in that in the Bible, don't we? But what is huion? We own. What is it? This is the heir. That's the heir. We have that same word. We have the same word, the same idea in Ephesians, the first chapter. Okay? In Ephesians, the first chapter, we're going to look at it in a few minutes. For in this same matter, He loved the God, the world. Not just mankind. God's going to redeem. Jesus Christ died to redeem the cosmos back to Himself. Every planet out there, every star out there, everything, every piece of dirt on the earth is going to be redeemed back to God through the merits of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? That's just a little bit more than talk about just Jesus dying for every man. Okay? So as the Son, the only begotten now, there's only one time God became flesh. John 1:14 says what? Kai ho logos sarx agenito. And the Word, what does Word mean there? How should it be translated? What's the Hebraism? Brother Mike?
Jehovah.
And the Jehovah, flesh, He became. Why did God become flesh? To redeem the world. Okay? To redeem the world. The only begotten Son He gave. Look at that. Second person. Singular. First aorist indicative active. Third person singular. First aorist indicative active. How many times did He give it? The Catholics sacrifice Jesus Christ every Sunday, don't they? And every time they think about it. In the Mass. They conjure up. They say these little words. They ring these bells. Fire up this incense, and they go through this little forte of magic, and it changes the wafer into the body of Jesus Christ, and the wine and the cup into the blood of Jesus Christ, and you drink His blood, and you eat His body, literally. Now, that's what you call transubstantiation. If you don't believe that, you don't get to go to heaven. That's Catholic dogma. All right. Am I right, Pam?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's what you teach in catechism, and if you don't believe that, you don't get to go to heaven. You know, you don't go. All right? And they sacrifice Him over and over and again and over again. But what does the Bible, what does the action say of the Bible here? Once Jesus Christ died. That says that He tasted the cross all the way from eternity back before He ever created anything. Because He knew God is omniscient, isn't He? He's all-knowing. And He knew this all the way then, and He could feel the nails of the cross. He could feel the humiliation from eternity past, but in space and time, He did it one time. God so loved the whole cosmos, so as the Son of Him, the only begotten, He gave in order that every the one believing, nominee singular masculine, present participle active, into Him, look at that word ace there, ace alton, ace. That's what? What is ace? That's the little word right there. It looks like just like it does in English, doesn't it? Ace. And in Hebrew, it's like that. Het. Sign of the objectives. The idea is extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. And I know that means a whole lot. Does he go, phew, done it. I remember Brother Ken Blinn went back to Louisville, Kentucky, and was taking Greek back there. After being in my class for about 6 or 8 years, that guy could quote all this stuff, all these grammatical rules, which most of the classes don't even teach it. He got back there, and they were talking about preposition. They said, hey, it's extension and limitation of thought of verbal action. They said, what? His teacher didn't know that rule. That's advanced Greek. Boy, we're playing baby Greek here. This is advanced Greek, okay? That's what you're taking, Greek reading and research, just like we used to take in the fourth, fifth, and sixth year, and seventh year in the seminary, okay? Believing into, through, and beyond. How far do you believe? How much do you believe? How much do you believe when you believe? How far reaching is that belief? Well, how far reaching is it? All the way into eternity. When God gives you the gift of believing, you believe forever. Talking about the anatomy of salvation. The one believing into, through, and beyond Him, not, he may perish. Third person singular, second aorist, subjunctive, middle voice. Every tense, mode, and voice in Greek is important. Third person singular. Who is that? Not he. We're talking about a person. Each one believing. And it's in the subjunctive mode. What does subjunctive mode tell us? That's the mode of what? Of doubtful or maybe affirmation. The indicative mode is a statement of fact. So the subjunctive mode, it says he may or may not. Do people that hear the gospel, sometimes they don't believe, do they? Who's that decision, believing or not believing, will follow them all the way into heaven, through and beyond. Okay? And it's in the middle voice. See? Middle voice. Now, your hyper-Calvinists, your five-point Calvinists, that's they believe in TULIP, all right? TULIP. Now, I'm a Calvinist, but I'm not a five-point Calvinist. Simple as that. Okay? Total hereditary depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and preservation of the saints. Irresistible grace and limited atonement. That's what we're talking about here, these 2 points. This verse right here in the original language thrashes these 2 little things right here. Why? First of all, he already says, anyone believing. All right? In him, not, look at this, third person singular, second aorist, subjunctive mode. Who does the deciding? The individual does the deciding. All right, in hyper-Calvinism, you've got irresistible grace. When God calls you, you cannot refuse. But this is in the subjunctive mode. Why would it be in subjunctive if you couldn't do it? Huh?
So doesn't the election have to do with that?
Huh?
Election have to do with that?
Yes, right. Election. God did elect to save us, and He died. It says that He wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, all those that would be saved. That's what you call foreknowledge. That's what you call omniscience. But in everything, and all the angels do, did angels have a choice to make? Mm-hmm. Did they make a choice? How many of them chose to go away from God? One third. How about the spirit world? How many in the spirit world chose to go away from God? One third. Okay. Now, how about Adam? Did Adam have a choice? Tell me, did Adam have a choice? Every hyper-Calvinist will say that Adam had a choice in the garden. Did he believe or didn't believe? He had a choice. And he chose not to believe. I got news for you. Every one of you make the same choice. In a different space of time. You're all related to Adam, and you have the seed of rebellion. You have the spirit of rebellion that you are born with, and that's the spirit which damns you. That's it. You're infected with an infection, an incurable infection that is only cured by God. Man cannot muster up faith. All right? He cannot muster it up. that he may not perish. Third person singular, secondary, subjunctive mode, you make the decision. Middle voice for yourself. Look at that. That's it. It's there. But, strong adversity conjunction. He may have. Now, if you were elected absolutely without choice, would that subjunctive mode be here? It would be, he will have. But he may have. May have. That's the difference. If you're theologically correct, then your theology will agree with every little... You can chase and open up scriptures like this and get them real big and magnify it. And if your theology is correct, then it's going to be okay. If it's not correct, then you've got to just move it over and just let God move in. Okay? Simple as that. But he may have life. What is eternal life? How long is eternal life? 6 months? 10 years? 45 years? 75 years? 10,000 years? No, it's not enough. So eternal life is how long? How long, Julie?
Endless.
Endless. All right. He may have endless eternal life. 3:17 now. Let's go there real quick. Who? Dar. Apa. Apestelein. Ho Theos. Ton Huion. Ace Ton Cosmon. Hina. Trine. Ton Cosmon. All. See that word all there is shortened. For euphony. Euphony means sound good. All hina sothe, that is, ho cosmos di, that's dia also, but it's shortened, how to. For not he sent, punctiliar action, indicative mode, active voice, for not he sent this God, the Son, into the world in order that he might condemn it or judge it. Look at that word, subjunctive mode right there, that he might do it. That wasn't why he did it. Right? He didn't send the Son into the world, condemn the world, because the world was already condemned. How do you need to condemn something that's already condemned? It's already condemned. Every man dies, doesn't he? That's condemnation. God makes no provision for the flesh. Man is triune in nature. He makes no provision for the flesh in this period of time. Unless we have the rapture tomorrow or tonight, which would be nice. But the body is going to have to die, and it's doing that. I know you younger people, you don't understand this decrepitness that us older folks are facing at this time. When one piece falls off at a time. I just tell you one thing, all of mine's falling apart at the same time. That he might could judge or condemn the world, but strong adversity conjunction, that in order that he might save. Who is it talking about here? Where he might save the whole cosmos. He's going to do that, isn't he? He's going to save the whole cosmos. He's all going to bring it back by the merits of Jesus Christ. He is going to bring that in back into his possession through the merits of Jesus Christ. Well, who is the subjunctive mode here about? It's about individuals that have volition. Volition means what? Choice. We have choice. That choice is the most dangerous thing that God ever gave you. That he might judge the world, but in order that it or he may be saved, or it may be saved, the world, through him. Through him. Now let's go on to 18 real quick. And then we're going to go chase some other verses. We're going to find out what this said. Ho pistion, eis auton, ou krenete, ho me pistion, eide, kekrite, hote me pepistu ken. Eis to onoma, tu monogenus, Huiu to theu. The one believing. How long did they believe? all the way through eternity. You don't believe just now. The gift of believing comes from God. That gift lasts forever. Your flesh and your mind may doubt, but Spirit God in you just keeps on pulling you toward that way. Even, I don't care what you do in this life. Once God is married to you, when that Spirit comes in you, you are His. You don't get away from Him. You can't get away from Him. You are His. The one believing, nominee, singular, masculine, present, participle, acting, ace, outtone, in Him, in, through, beyond, and way out there and yonder. One believing in Him, not, he is judged. Not, he can be judged. You can't get lost if you wanted to get lost. You can go out and do all the bad things in this world. You can cuss all you want to. You can fornicate. You can do whatever you want to. You can get drunk. You can fall down in the gutter and whatever. You're His. You're His. And He's not going to turn loose of you. Right now, you will pay for it. But not there. Right now, you'll pay for it. The one not believing, already, he has been judged. Look at that. That's perfect tense. The one not believing. The one habitually not believing. And how is he doing it? He's doing it for himself. He's not believing. Because not he has believed, eis ton onoma, in the authority, in the name of the only begotten Son of the God. Jesus is slapping Nicodemus silly. Wham, 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 wham. He said, your religion is not going to save you. You have to believe in me. You have to believe in me. Go back to the first chapter of the book of Genesis. Bodishu. Where is that book? We're going to look at the anatomy of salvation. The anatomy of salvation. That one's falling off. See how man's made. Before we can figure out man, we've got to figure out how he's made. How many of you ever tore an engine apart in a car? Or a lawnmower? Or a motorcycle? Have done that, Roger? A lot of fun, isn't it? What?
I mean, you didn't want to.
Oh. I remember a long time ago. That's a long time ago. I was a sophomore in high school, and I'd been working in wrecking yards since I was about 7, 8, 10 years old, going and helping my uncles and tearing engines apart and stuff, and building cars and doing all kinds of stuff since I was a child. And I went into auto mechanics as a junior. And, of course, you know, you got freshman, sophomore, and junior, senior. I skipped the first 2 years because I was doing something else. So they put me in the third year, and they had a lot of great big heavy wooden boxes. And in every wooden box, there was pieces in those wooden boxes. The engine was completely apart. And they said, your job this semester is to put that engine together, put it on a test stand, and put a radiator on it, and start fire the thing up and make it run. I said, okay. 1 week, the first week, my engine was on the test stand running. Everybody else was just all over it. He says, where have you been doing this? You're assistant teacher, boy. Go to work on these guys. Get their engines together. So I built a 235 six-cylinder engine. That's what I built. That was zip. It went together. The valves were out of the heads. All the valve springs, the keepers, everything was all apart. You had to put everything together. I fired that thing up and started it. It just ran like a champ. And so I went out. This guy had a flathead V8. And this guy had a different kind of engines. They had all kinds of engines that these wrecking yards and whatever had donated to there and tore them all the way down. And then after we got through doing that, we got to take it all apart again. For the next bunch. Well, I knew how it went together. When you know how man goes together, you could see man and say, oh, that's the way it works. This is the way it works. Let's see what God did when he made man. Okay? And it tells its story in Genesis. Vayomer Elohim na'aseh. And said Elohim, we shall make Adam. Adam. We shall make man. Alright? Genesis 1 and 26. If you've got it in your Bible there with you, look at this. Alright. Bet Zot Menu. We're going to make man in our shadow. We're going to make man in our shadow. What do you think that's talking about, Brother Mike? In your shadow. Yes, have you ever seen your shadow? Have you ever seen a cat play with his shadow? Have you? I know what you can just... You can get... Some people don't like cats at all. I know that. But you just get, Brother Bill, you don't like cats. I heard a guy told me one time the only thing cats was good for was shark bait. I don't believe that. Cats can teach you how to relax. Did you know that? Cats are humorous, extremely. But I'll tell you what, it takes a very intelligent person to like a cat. But cats are smarter than most people. They're smarter than most people. They are. The cats, you don't go buy a cat. A cat chooses you. You can go get all the cats you want to. If that cat don't like you, forget it. A cat chooses you. You don't choose it. You go get a dog, you just pet it and do everything else. That dog's going to follow you. It'll follow you through fire. But a cat will do what it pleases. It's got a real strong volition. I'm going to tell you that. It is. It does. The shadow. Shadow. God made us in his shadow. What shadow? What shadow? We're talking about God now. We're talking about theology. The study of God. Theology. Theology comes from Greek, doesn't it? Boy, look at this. That's how you say it in Greek. Theology. Just like it is in English. Theology. What does theology mean? The study of God. You want to understand God? You look at man. Best way to look at God. You want to figure God out? Look at man. That's what it says here. Let us make man in our shadow. All right. Bethsalah Menu. In our shadow likeness. In our shadow casting likeness. In our, according to our blood flowing likeness. Kedmutenu. In our blood flowing according to our cutout. According to our icon. According to our image. All right? Our cutout. The word cutout is in that word. According to our cutout. According to our shadow, according to our blood flowing image. And then we reyedu. And they shall have rulership like God. Mankind shall have rulership like God. Is God, is he sovereign? God's sovereign. Anybody not? Do you know that man is sovereign too? God made every man sovereign over his spirit and soul. Did you know that? You are. You're sovereign over your spirit and soul. You're sovereign. Sovereign over it. In our blood flowing likeness, in our sovereignty. In our sovereignty. Now, we talk about the image of man, and now we've gone into the spirit world. We've gone into the untangible part of it. We have man's body was made like God. And I heard people talk a long time ago. They said, you know, the scope and monkey trial and all that kind of business. You remember that? That's a long time ago. That's when the guy said, well, we evolved from monkeys and apes, you know, from these other early mankind-looking things, Cro-Magnon and everything. I see them walking up down the road every day. Weird-looking people. There are some weird-looking people out there. Just walk up and down the road and see. Go down to L.A. or New York City or something. You'll see some of these. Every stage of so-called evolution. They're walking around today. They didn't have to evolve. All right? All right, now, God made man in his shadow-casting, blood-flowing likeness. Okay? So that means what? That God had form when he made man, did he not? And he made man's form in his form, so he'd be like him. Now, do angels have form? Evidently they do, because people have seen angels, haven't they? How about spirits? Spirits don't have form, do they? Spirits are spirits. They don't have form. Even though they are entity, they don't have form. They can go and dwell. Angels appear in a form. There are all kinds of angels, by the way. We can't go into all that right now. But spirits always seek to dwell in what? Human or animal flesh. Okay? Now, God created man. He created him as a thinker. All right? Do you think animals think? If you haven't been around animals, animals think, people. They figure things out. They really figure things out. They do. They think. They love. They hate. They do. They think. All right? They got a little thinkers, too. Not like man, but they have thinkers. I was watching my cat here a while back, and I had never seen her do this before. She reached out there, and she picked up food and put it in her mouth just like she had a hand. She kept going like this and eating her food like that. I've never seen a cat do that before. But she did. She just acted like she had a hand. Ate her food. She didn't want to eat it out of the bowl. She'd reach down there and get it and go like that. According to his blood-flowing pattern or cutout. And he shall have a rulership. It says, among the fish, Bidgot. You know, Dagon. Dagon, what, you remember who Dagon was? That was the fish god. Alright, it comes from the dog, Dagon. Alright? Over the fish of the sea, Hamayim. And over the flyers in the air, over the wing flappers of the heavens. And over domesticated four-legged livestock. And over all of the earth. And over all of the small creepers. The ones creeping and crawling upon the earth. We're going to put you down there and you're going to rule over it. Now, according to the book of Jasher, what did he stick in his hand when he did this? The staff of God, which we just found out in the third and fourth chapter of the book of Exodus. Moses ended up with that rod. Okay? Stuck in his hand. And that rod means what? That's authority. So he gave him authority over all of this. Alright? So now we have a man. We have a man. He is body, which corresponds to what part of God? Jesus. Alright? That's who he made his likeness. And then we have what? He's a thinker. So what part of a man is that? That's soul. Alright? And he's eternal. And what part of that is man? That's spirit. This ain't not working. Alright. Now when God created man, God is triune, is he not? Are there three gods? Are there three gods? No, there aren't three gods. God is triune. He's not the Father over here and the Son over here and the Holy Spirit over there. He is triune. We are triune also. Now let's go, we could go a whole lot more into this here, I can guarantee you. We could go over in the second chapter and delineate it out, but we don't have time. Let's go to Ephesians, the first chapter. Different book. Ephesians, the first chapter. And verse 10. Now I got to read from right, left to right again. Eis oikonomion, tu pleromatos ton chiron, anakephale ousaste, ta panta en to Christo ta epitos uranos kai ta epites geis. Alright. Ephesians 1 and 10. Are you right there, Julie? Mm-hmm. Could you come up there and read that for me in your translation, if you don't mind? You're close.
To be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. All
right. So Christ is going to be head of everything one of these days. That's Ephesians 1 and 10. And then 1 and 11 says, in whom also we were picked out. This is what you call the word election. We were picked out. It's ekklerotamen. First person plural, first aorist indicative passive, in whom we were picked out, having been marked off and appointed beforehand. All right. Nominee plural masculine, or nominee plural masculine, first aorist participle passive, punctuated reaction, having been appointed and marked off according to the predestination, that means predetermined will of the all operating according to the counsel of the will of Him. That word telematos, that word will of God, what does telematos mean? Thelematos. Remember, some of you might remember what thelematos means. Thelematos. Thelematos means spiritual activating force. Because of God's love and His spiritual activating force, that He wanted to share His glory with someone that He created, that was made like Him. Angels are a little bit like God, aren't they? Huh? They're supernatural, aren't they? Okay, they are. Spirits are a little bit like God. But man is a whole lot like God. Think about that for a while. Christ's church, we talk about the church, how important the church is. The church will rule and reign with Christ on that throne forever. Not for a little while, but forever. He's going to share His glory with His bride because He loved that bride. Okay? Israel could have been that bride, but Israel did what? Threw it away. Israel will never be the bride again. She will never be a bride again. Never. She's 86'd herself out of bridehood. As simple as that. In whom we were picked out, having been marked off, predestinated. But when God did that, what did He do it relating to? Your volition. This is really hard. It's hard to understand God's will and God's way He did things. But way back yonder in eternity past, God picked us out in Him because He knew what each individual would do then. He knew what each individual would do then. Number 12. For the purpose of, for the end result of, to be us unto the praise of the glory of Him. The ones having been previously hoped for in Christ. This is a Hebraism, by the way. Paul used the Hebraism there. Old future perfect. Something's going to happen in the future, but we call it a historic perfect in the future, having been hoped for. We are saved today, we're saved with a hope, aren't we? We're saved with a promise. But you know what? One of these days, it's going to be for real. We look at things today, every minute, every hour. When you're young and you're sitting in a classroom, those minutes go by for a long, long, every minute is an hour, it seems like. Isn't that right? But when you get older, minutes fly by. They start flying. Whew! Decades, not minutes. Decades. 1:13, in whom also ye having heard the word of the truth, the gospel, the good news, of the salvation of you, in whom also having believed, look at that word, punctuality, you're not going to only believe, you believe once forever. You believe once and it lasts forever because it didn't come from you. Belief is a gift. What are the three gifts that we have in the church today? Name them. Faith, hope, and love. That's a gift. That's a gift. All right. Number 13b. Ye were sealed in the Spirit. You might say with the Spirit, but it's in the Spirit. The Spirit of God comes and dwells in you. That Spirit of Apongalios, of promise, the Holy Spirit. This is your down payment. This is your earnest money. What is earnest money when you go buy a piece of property? What is earnest money? Cindy, you know what earnest money is? Is it refundable? Nope. Not refundable. Earnest money is not refundable. So we got a down payment. God's Spirit comes and dwells in us. Now, we are not quadroon, are we? Are we quadroon individuals? That means four parts. How many are we? We're triune. All right, now God takes our spirit, the spirit of rebellion that guided us all through our lives until we come to the point of salvation. That one is zipped. And the Spirit of God comes and dwells in us, and that Spirit of God directly works on the soul. The soul. And the soul works on the body. As simple as that. The Spirit of God is in you. It's there forever. It's not ever going to leave. That is what marks you and identifies you forever. Not for a day, not for a month, not for 40 or 50 years, but forever. That Spirit of God goes in with you, and it's God's signature on your person. It's His signature on you. His signature identifying you, His brand, His earmark. When I cowboyed, used to go up in these hills and we'd catch these cattle, and that cow there would have a swallow fork on her left ear or whatever. You know, that's a slot. You don't get, you cut it out. Here's an ear of a cow, and another ear of a cow. That's the head. And you cut one out of here for this family, and for another family you cut one out of here, for another family you cut one out of here, and another one out of here, or whatever, you know, and you could have a combination. It had a mama over here and a daddy over here. Well, you cut the little, and you mark it. How many of you ever saw Wilmer, my pig? That pig was identified, wasn't she? She had holes and slots. She had holes here and a hole over here and different things like that. It told about her whole family tree and her ear. God earmarks us. He does. He earmarks us. Because we're part of His family. He earmarks us. And we're earmarked forever. That's it. We're earmarked. Earmarked forever. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And then verse number 14. Whom He is, this Spirit, earnest money. Earnest money. Avrabon. Earnest money of the inheritance of us unto the redemption of a physical possession unto the praise of the glory. All right, now we go into a different subject. I got to draw you a little picture here. We're talking about sons. We've become sons of God. We've become these wheons. Okay? Because God's Son came down here and redeemed us.
Now, what it's talking about here, that's not working. Talking about the lot law.
However many members of a family there is, you know, how many brothers in a family there is. They, like a Jewish family, if there's five brothers, or six brothers, you'd have one, two, three, four, five, you've got six brothers. One of them is the heir. He gets this big half a piece of property right here. This is the heir. That's the heir. Alright? Right now, God has promised us that we're going to be with Him forever. And here is our little heirship right here. We are body, spirit, and soul. Okay? Now, the spirit is not ours. That's God's. We're triune, not quadrune. God doesn't add His spirit to us, but He takes the spirit of rebellion that was designated us for hell. He puts His spirit in us. And one of these days, all of this is going to be redeemed. All of this piece of property was handed down to the family members. The heir got this big piece of property. The other brothers got their little pieces of property. One of these days, all of us is going to be redeemed. The body is not redeemed right now. All right, now going. Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at it in this. 2 and verse 1. Now, the Ephesian letter is written by the Apostle Paul, not to the Ephesian church, okay? It wasn't written to the Ephesian church. That got in there later. This is a circular letter to all the churches. This is what we call a universal epistle or a general epistle, okay? Written to all the churches. So every church, even us today, this is relevant to, okay? And we just looked about the salvation in the first part of it, how sure our salvation was. Now, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Would God be still God if it was only Father, Son? Would you be Michelle if you were only body and soul? No, you wouldn't be. Okay? Now, when God puts His Spirit in you, He guarantees that He's going to redeem you. Now, this, I want you to think about this technicality for just a minute. If God did not redeem you, and His Spirit was in you, and you are part of Him, what would happen to God if He didn't redeem you? Poof! There'd be no world left. God would be gone. It's gone. Just like that. God staked His existence on you when He put His Spirit in you. That's how sure your salvation is. Isn't that something? That's surety, isn't it? That's what you call surety. Now let's go over here, 2 and 1. Ephesians 2 and 1. I'm not getting where all I wanted to go tonight. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins with that old spirit in you. You were a dead man. You were a double dead man. With the old spirit in you. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. And that spirit energized you. Alright? In which formerly you walked according to the pathways of the world system, according to the prince and the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. The spirit that's working, energizing the sons of disobedience, that spirit that was in them was in all of us. Thank God He's gone. I thank God it's gone. You remember that? We have enough trouble with the soul, don't we? I have enough trouble with the body. I'm glad I don't have that spirit anymore. That was energizing the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the soul, the soulish things, those wicked soulish things. That word mind there is the thoughts. And we're by faith, our nature, children of wrath. We have the spirit of rebellion in us. That is, was put there when? When Adam conceived his first child, it was in him. God made Adam according to his likeness, but he became wicked. Became wicked. He wasn't that way. He became wicked. Desires of the flesh and the mind were by nature children of wrath. You tell Brandy I tried to do the good job for her, okay? Even as the rest. But God, being super rich in mercy, because of His love with which He loved us, and even when we were dead, remaining dead in our transgression, made us alive with Christ. It says, by grace you have been saved. Of course, that's in parenthesis now. And He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in heavenly places. He married us when He put His Spirit in us. When He put His Spirit in us, He's married to us. Forever. It's not going away. It can't go away. If God didn't redeem you, He would cease to exist. But that's His promise. Can God lie? If He lied, would He be God? Alright, would He be God without that Spirit that's now part of you if you're saved? Verse number 7, in order that in the ages, in all of the ages, one age upon the other, upon the other, upon the other, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and the kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse number 8. This is the one everybody quotes all the time. Now I'm going to tell it to you a little bit in from the Greek, because it's prettier in Greek than it is in English. For in the grace you exist. For in grace you exist. That Spirit of God that's in you makes you exist. Ye are having been saved. Nominally plural masculine. Perfect participle passive. You have been saved. You didn't do it. God did it. Through what? Faith. Where's the faith come from? It didn't come from you. It didn't come from you. It's a gift. What's the three gifts we have left in the church age? Faith, hope, and love. Right. Having been saved through faith, and this thing not out of you, God, the free gift. God, the free gift. And Isaiah says, behold, God has become my salvation. Number 9 says, not out of works, in order that not anyone should brag or should blow. Not be a blowhard about it. Nobody can brag and say, I'm saved. I remember when I was growing up in church, they testify for 2 hours after they had served, do all this talking and going on. And then people would get up there and brag on themselves for 2 hours and people say, I was saved 10 years ago and I haven't sinned one time since. I have kept myself in Christ all this time. You ever hear that? I heard it. And it could go on for 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 years. I'll tell you what, you never kept yourself in Christ one day. And every day we sin. Every day we sin. But it doesn't separate us from God. Verse 10. For out of Him we exist. For out of Him we exist. A product of employment. His employment. That's what it says in Greek. Having been created in Christ Jesus upon the works, His works, upon good works, which is He has prepared beforehand, the God, in order that in them we should walk. He created us in His good works, and we should walk in those good works. In those good works. Romans the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. I didn't get all of these things that I wanted to go. A little bit. Romans 8, 26. And the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness, God's Spirit living in us. That's what makes us stronger. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but Spirit Himself intercedes with our spirit, with our groanings and our thoughts too deep for words. And He searches our hearts. That's what's talking about our soul now. The Spirit does. Because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. For we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. It says, literally, for the called, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He predestined, there He also called. And whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, He also glorified. This is talking about as if it already happened. This is pure Hebraism. Do you know that? God looks at you as if you're already with Him in eternity. Because they know it's a done fact. We are living in space and time, but He looks at us as if we were already with Him. Verse number 31. And when then shall we say these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who can bring a charge against God's elect? God, the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who interceding for us. The right hand of God there is a figure of speech. That means that He is an almighty power. Who is Jesus called? Jehovah what? Jehovah what? What's the word for the almighty? Sabaoth. Jehovah Sabaoth. All right, He's the almighty God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced, Paul said this to the church at Rome, for I am convinced that neither death nor life... Death, nothing that can kill you can separate you from God. Nor living, nor angels, nor principalities, that means those spiritual beings up there, those spirits, or things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth. Height means the things in heaven. Depth means the things in hell. Or any other created being shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is the anatomy of salvation. One of these days He's going to redeem you, body and mind, or soul. The spirit is already redeemed because that's God's. That is His down payment, irrevocable down payment. You are His and marked and branded forever. Never could you get loose from God. You are not your own. You are God's. You are God's. Do you have any questions? Brother Mike? No? Michelle? No? Those are
David. I wrote something down on my Bible.
Yeah.
A long time ago, you were talking about Ken Bland.
Yeah.
And it's a quote from him. He said, God spent His Son on...
That's right.
I like that.
God spent His Son on us. He did. God spent His Spirit on you. And He cannot not redeem you. It's impossible for Him not to redeem you, won't you then say? Because you are part of Him. And He is part of you. Indelibly. Forever. That's a beautiful, beautiful anatomy of salvation. All right. Go out and do something eternal. Andrew, it's good to have you here tonight.
Thank you, sir. I do have a question.
Yes.
Maybe I'm just not quite understanding, but you said when we're saved, he removes our spirit and even though...
The spirit of rebellion is gone.
Okay. How does that relate to when Christ says, love the Lord your God with all your soul, mind, and spirit?
Mm-hmm.
So if that's your...
The spirit is going to love God, because it is God that's in you, all right? We're talking about triunely. Now, I didn't get to go into Lot, didn't get to go into the book of Jasher, which I was going to do, and show you how bad Lot was and how bad... Maybe I'll read a little bit about that next week. You couldn't find a worse character that's saved than Lot in the Bible, okay? And Lot was triune. And we were going to go to the book of Hebrews and show you the division between the spirit and the soul. Only God can figure that one out. We can't very well. But the spirit of God that is in you. When we were lost, we had the spirit of rebellion in us. When we're saved, we have God's spirit in us. And that replaces that spirit. Because we're not quadrune, we're triune. If he added a spirit to us, then we'd have what? We would be a four-way entity, which would not be like God at all. We are triune. Okay? And that spirit is what indelibly marks you forever. In 2 Peter, I can't go and do all that. Oh, I'll try to finish it up next week a little bit. We'll look at that just a little bit. Because we're still in John, the third chapter. Not all the way down to the end of the verse. We'll try to do more of it. Did I answer your question a little bit?
I think so.
Okay. We are triune. One of these days, we're going to be redeemed triunely. We already have the redemption of the Spirit in us. But the rest of it, that's our what? What's it called? The Aravon, the down payment. The irreversible down payment. Not sometime, not for this little while. If he didn't redeem us, he'd lose that earnest money, which is the down Holy Spirit in us, which would be no God. We could all be atheists then. There would be no God. Because that's part of him. We become part of him when he puts his spirit in us. He has to redeem us. Because that is his promise. Anything else? Any other? Anything else? Your wife always asks the last question. And she said you were smarter than she was. And you had a lot of questions. Anything else? All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Would you like to come up and dismiss us in prayer? Would that be all right? Andrew, yes, come right up here.
Thank you, Father, for bringing us here tonight, just being able to look and learn in actual Greek and learn about salvation. And more than anything, if nothing else, we know that your grace has saved us, and we can count on that. And we have hope and faith in you. And I just pray for everyone's safety. Let's go from here.